Welcome to Carittles. This week, personal weakness risk assessment and mitigation.
Part one.
The questions this cast answers are, how do I assess the risk that my weaknesses cause? How do I mitigate my weaknesses? And how do I change my weaknesses into strengths?
Folks, many of you have been benefiting from our license for the past year, which we did a special bonus version of the license to carry everybody through COVID-19. We added some additional services like the interviewing series to our license. And you'll be pleased to know that we finalized our offering for next year. We're actually internally calling it the Ever License, although I don't think that'll be its official name. And we've decided to keep including the interviewing series and several other products as well in our license as a way to encourage you not only to get a license, but also so that virtually all of our digital products will be available to you. We're doing our best to try to support you. We know it's much harder managing and being a professional when you're distant from your team and your colleagues, and we're doing our best to try to support you in that. So be on the lookout for news. If you are a licensee in Things I Think, and if you're not, in our newsletters where we'll talk about what the offering is, it will be actually even better than what we've been doing for the past year. We hope you appreciate it.
So there's that oh so common, but oh so useless interview question that everybody dreads because nobody wants to answer it. And this cast isn't how to answer the question, which is, tell me about your weaknesses. And there is a cast for how to answer this question, of course. But that's not what we're doing now. What we're doing now is thinking about, well, actually, we all do have weaknesses. And for some of them, they cause us issues, liabilities. They might be stopping us from performing now. They might be causing us problems, storing us up problems for the future. And if we want to progress, one of the things we need to know is we need to have a realistic idea of our strengths and weaknesses. And where our weaknesses are causing us problems, we at least need to mitigate them so they're not going to cause us problems or stop us progressing in the future. So it's a really short outline, but it's going to be a long cast.
Yeah, exactly. So our outline, first thing we're going to do is talk about listing out your weaknesses, then assessing your risk, and then mitigating the risk.
Sounds so easy.
I know, right? All right. So the first part of it, before we get to the assessing and mitigating, we need to start by listing out our weaknesses. And most of us probably already know what those weaknesses are, even if we've not necessarily wanted to face them or to tackle them. We've probably, for the most part, been hearing about the same things all of our working life. So the first step then that we're going to recommend you do is just write down that list of weaknesses. Now, some of you are probably thinking immediately to yourselves, well, could I type them or is handwriting a thing here? No, you can definitely type them out if you want. However, handwriting is better because as the way we think when we type and the way we think when we handwrite are different. That is, typing causes our brain to think in a more linear fashion, which is the opposite of what we're trying to do when we have ideas, right? That brainstorming, that imagination. So keep in mind, be honest, right? Like create like a real full list. The list is only for you. You don't need to censor yourself. We're not going to be showing it to other people. And as goes all brainstorming, a longer list is better.
Right. Yeah, and it doesn't mean that you'll have more work to do. If you can think of 20 weaknesses, that doesn't mean we're not going to work on all 20.
20 weaknesses.
Mm-hmm. Like that's the whole point of the next part, which is assessing the risk. Not all of those things will be causing you problems. Like it's a well-known fact that I can't add up or do anything that remotely. In fact, I can't even read numbers out loud. They jumble in my head. Most of the time, it's not a problem. Calculators exist. Excel exists. Other people who can check my work exist.
Yeah.
And so
you're not an accountant.
No, exactly. And if I'm doing something with numbers, I'm aware of it enough that I will have someone else check my work. So though that's a weakness, it's not holding me back. And right. so I can put it on my list, but I'm not going to work on it. But the longer the list is,
yeah.
the more likely you're going to find those important ones because you won't think of them immediately. You know, it'll take a little while and then all of a sudden you'll think, oh, this boss and that boss. Or you'll start the list and then go do something else and another idea will come to you. It's one of those things that's not a one and done. It'll come over a few days. And so the longer the list is, the more likely you are to find the ones that are a problem. And the more likely you are to be able to assess the risk accurately because you'll have a broader picture. If you only have three things, if I only had three things and numbers was one of them, I'd think, well, maybe that's a big one. If I think of 20 and I put numbers in that list, I'm like, oh, okay. There's some worse things than yeah, not being
no
able
big deal.
To add up, right? Mm-hmm. My list is between 10 and 20 items long. I think that's a good list, mm-hmm. at least. To start with.
And keep in mind, in creation of this list, guys, this isn't things that you personally assess to be a problem. These are things that other people, like your boss or your customers or your coworkers, have said to you might be a problem. Right? You want to include any weaknesses, even if you don't think they're important. If your boss or your customers or your coworkers think they're important enough to go on this list. So if your boss said something, for example, and I mean, they might not point blank say, that's a real weakness of yours. But if they said to you, or they're mentioning to you that they really wish you would get your reports in 24 hours before every deadline, rather than right at the moment of deadline, then that would be considered a weakness. Now, you'd be right to think to yourself, well, according to the deadline, and what it is that deadlines mean, the reports are timely because they're coming in on time. I'm not late. But we would report, in that case, timeliness as a weakness that is potentially holding you back because whether or not it's by dictionary definition a true weakness, when your boss considers putting you on bigger projects, right? Working for important customers or on a really big account or promoting you. That weakness exists for them in you. So it ought to make the list.
There's plenty of things that you don't think are a weakness that your boss thinks is a weakness, yeah. in my experience.
Me too.
And actually, my experience of managing people too or working with people, you know, there's a lot of the times people don't, they know, maybe they've heard people say it's an issue, but they don't realize what an issue they're causing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So to help you, we've got two lists that we're going to give you some things to kind of help you brainstorm or to give you some things to think about. And the first one is categories. So we've got four categories of things that you might want to think about. The first one is results, which is your performance against the metrics or goals for your job. And it's not enough to say, I don't know what the metrics are, yeah. so I must be doing fine. Mm-hmm. Or my boss hasn't given me any goals, so I must be doing fine. Because someone, probably your manager, is judging you against something.
Right, something.
Even if mm-hmm. you don't know what that is. And it's your job to work out what that thing is and then work for it. And again, sometimes those criteria are irrational
yes.
to you. Right? Mm-hmm. That it's something that's important to someone else. I've told this story before. I used to do a monthly report for a manager. And one of the things I had to do on this monthly report, I'd do all the charts, all the graphs, and then I'd have to change the colors because he didn't like the default colors on Microsoft
oh.
Office.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. it was irrational. Yep. I don't mm-hmm. understand
I would
it. But his standard for that report was that the colors had been changed. And, you know, I knew that, he knew that. There you go. That was part of the job. And it's a failure on your manager's part if you don't know what your goals yeah. are. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. That said, it's also a failure on your part
yeah,
if you
exactly.
haven't found out. And since you can't change your boss, like you can't change that person's personality, and most times we can't, like, fire them and have someone else come in either.
Mm-hmm.
You need to find out what your goals and the metrics are. And there's a bunch of podcasts for that. So go to the website and put in, get your goals from your boss. pretty sure that's what it's called.
Mm-hmm. And also, guys, remember that sometimes the things that we're being judged on aren't things that are being written or recorded or taken into account on things like our performance appraisal. So, like, for example, your performance appraisal might say on it, reduce costs by 3% in the next year. And if you achieve that reduction of 3% by bullying your vendors into giving you lower rates that they then resent and hold against you by jacking up prices elsewhere, or you go ahead and risk late deliveries due to that poor relationship, or there's bad quality, or there's other work-to-rule tactics at play, bullying isn't in your performance review. No one's review says, do not bully anybody in the next 365 days. But your relationship is something that is being judged by way of your results.
And the other thing that where we're judged by something that's not on our performance review is when our boss has a thing about something, like the colors on a on a spreadsheet or on a graph. I have a friend who works, ostensibly she has a flexi time system, which means she can come in anytime between 6 and 9:30. And as long as she works for 7.5 hours each day, she's golden. But her boss thinks everybody should be at work by 8. And if you're not at work by 8, he marks you as tardy. And he has like a book and writes it down. And it's not in the HR system. It's not anywhere in, you know, the rules clearly say you can come in anytime between 6:30 and 9. But he has a thing about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, when it comes to performance reviews, when he says, how was her performance? 1 out of 5. Like, he's like, well, she came in late a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And he marks her down. And it's not fair, but your boss controls your addiction to food, shelter, and clothing, as we often say. And sometimes you just have to go with it. And you get the choice. You can stay in that job for all of the benefits that that job gives you, or you can leave, right? Mm-hmm. But you can't change the person. And if that person's doing your performance review, then you might as well be realistic. The whole of this cast is about being realistic about your weaknesses and about the situation you're in. And that's not to say that if your boss asks you to do something illegal or unethical or, irrational, that you should follow it. We're not saying that, but we're saying some bosses, most bosses in my experience, have a thing about something. You might as well go with it.
Exactly.
Hey, folks, a bunch of you have written me in the last 3 months to say that you really appreciated getting daily things I think for 200 straight work days during the heart of our experience with the pandemic and lockdowns and working from home and all the difficulties that were caused in our lives. If you're a licensee, of course, you get weekly things I think, and I hope you enjoy it. And please let me know what you think, even if you disagree. That's okay. Freedom and diversity are wonderful. And if you're not a licensee, and I can't convince you to become one, if you want to hear from me daily, you can on my Twitter feed. It's at M.A. Horstman, H-O-R-S-T-M-A-N. It's always about work and professional life and being a good citizen. It's not political. I don't put too much personal stuff up there. Maybe once a year, a picture of golf, like if I ever get a hole in one. But mostly it's just recommendations about how to be a great professional, a great manager, how to contribute to your team. So at M.A. Horstman is my Twitter feed. I hope you'll follow me and you'll hear from me every morning at about 6 a.m. Pacific time. Start your day with something good.
All right. Next category to put into consideration is communication. That communication goes multiple directions, up, down, sideways, and the media which you're using to communicate. Now, weaknesses in our communication can show up in several ways. The first way is in the people that you're communicating with, right? Only communicating with people that are on your direct team and your boss aren't enough people. That is, the root of corporation is corpus, meaning body. Each person in the organization is a part of that body. and needs to be communicating with the rest of it. It's like, imagine your stomach stops working and it's no longer communicating with your brain about when it needs food, what food it requires, what nutrients it's missing, and when to stop. You die. It doesn't take long. It doesn't take long, and you will starve to death. More communication is just plain better.
And with more people.
And with more people, exactly. And with more people. Mm-hmm.
And there's a cost for that, about assessing your internal relationships and where you should concentrate your efforts. Mm-hmm. If when we get to the end of this, that's still a weakness for you, there's a cost for that.
Yes, exactly.
And the other way that weakness in communication shows up is in the medium you use to communicate. Mm-hmm. And it's fine to prefer email, but it can't be the only way you can communicate. I started to write outlines for a new cast about the different disc styles and how they work from home. Yeah. And Sarah and I are both high D's, and I started writing, high D's love working from home because there's no one around to bother them. They can just get on with their task list, which is completely true. But it's not good for the, you know, back to the corpus and the corporation, like one part of your body can't go off and just do its own thing. Doesn't work that way. And, you know, there's different ways to communicate and different people prefer different ways.
Yes.
And you can always stick to your own way, the one you prefer, but it'll be way less effective than being more flexible and talking to people the way they want to be talked to. So for some people, that means picking up the phone. For some people, that means replying to their joke with a smiley face, even though you think it's silly. You know, if you're using your preference more than 75% of the time or 60% of the time, you are probably being less effective in communication than you want to be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Communication is what the listener does. You can send your messages the way you want to send them all you want. But if the recipient isn't understanding them, then your communication will not be heard.
And part of communication isn't, when you say understanding, it's not just the words. It's not just the message getting across. It's also the relationship. And there's a whole bunch of stuff around. It's not just, if it were just noughts and zeros, ones and zeros, we'd all communicate like computers do.
Right.
But we don't, right? We have this complexity of communication for a reason. Mm-hmm. So you want to use it.
Absolutely. And that takes us then beautifully into the third category to think about, which is your relationships. Again, in all directions, up, down, and sideways. So if you're not communicating with a broad enough range of people, it's an almost guarantee that you don't have relationships with enough people. And it's possible that even if you are communicating with somebody, even on a regular basis, that you don't have a relationship with that person. Like, think to yourself, if you don't know a single non-work thing about another person, then you don't have a relationship. That's the acid test that we sometimes talk about, right? You can't tell me that you have a great relationship with somebody if you don't know the first name of their spouse or their children, right? That is proof of a relationship.
And it sounds like, oh, so what did I do? Like this morning when I, you know, when we get a new hire, do I grill Sarah on all who her family are so that I can fill that in my book? And the answer is no. But last week when she said, oh, my sister arranged for us to have Christmas in February, I remember which sister it was, or the fact that she has a sister.
Right.
So it's picking up on that stuff, and those, it's those pieces of the conversation that are the relationship, and that's how people give that information away freely. You know, when you say have a nice weekend, they say, "Oh, I am because I'm gonna do this," or "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm late." My child, and they say the name of their child. So it's not like it's you know, you don't have to interrogate everybody you work with. It'll just happen things. If you're paying attention to it. And if you have a relationship, you'll be paying attention to it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. Next then on our list is accuracy and professionalism. And to be honest, this is the category that most people think of very first when they're thinking to themselves, what are my weaknesses? So now it's easy to categorize accuracy, and we gravitate towards something that we can easily measure and change. And in most cases, 100% accuracy isn't required. And we have tools. We have abundant tools to help us with these things, like spelling and grammar checks that'll help us with our typing. Excel will tell us when we've messed up a formula, right? Google will even tell us when we've mistyped an address. It's not that accuracy isn't important. If your code isn't 100% accurate, it won't compile. Sometimes, though, we strive for 100% accuracy because it's something that is measurable, and we put forward effort in the wrong places.
Way easier to say, I'm going to work really hard on this report and make sure it's 100% accurate because I can measure that, than I'm going to try and work out whether or not I've got a good relationship with Sarah.
Exactly. You know? You're absolutely
right. That's way harder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And professionalism is also easy to think about, especially if you think about it in the opposite. So unprofessional behavior is really easy. Things like being late or interrupting or dominating or ignoring input, going over time, being dismissive of other people's suggestions. It's really easy to put a list together. Doing email, not paying attention, and a dozen other behaviors that you
everyone knows what they look like.
Yeah. So professionalism is the opposite. So things like being on time and early, not interrupting, allowing others to speak, acknowledging input, not going over time, being receptive and positive about suggestions, and being 100% in the meeting, like being present, as they say in yoga, but not doing email while you're in a meeting. And so what we don't want you to do is, and the reason we put this at the end, is we don't want, just because these things are easy,
they are,
we don't want you to concentrate on them if you have bigger weaknesses causing you more risk in the other categories.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I would even say, frankly, many people who struggle with communication and relationship are the people that most highly focus on accuracy themselves. So it's easy to get blinded by one category and not the other. So watch for all of them. And keep in mind, guys, if you're still struggling, some other places that you can look for, search for those indications of potential weakness are things like feedback from your boss, your colleagues, your customers, right? They potentially reported to you that these things are
occurring.
And
it may not be called feedback. You know, it may be angry email. You know, snarky comment.
Yes. And it's entirely possible that in this one document or in these places, you'll be able to find everything you need to know.
Right. In other people's feedback, that might be everything, right? But there's some places to look if you're still looking. Things like annual reviews, look at your emails, look at your calendar, look at your meeting notes, feedback from your family.
Yes.
And I have to say, that's not always accurate because my dad says I never shut up and Mark says I don't communicate enough. So that just goes to the difference. My dad's a high C.
Preferences.
Mm-hmm. He would rather I didn't talk. Mark's a high DI. He would rather I talked. And that's another thing. Like, the weakness is different with different people.
Right. It's subjective.
Yeah. And that goes back to your boss having a thing about something.
Yes.
You know, so it's to do with their preferences. And remember, they're the ones that grade you on the performance review. Whether you think it's normal, rational, acceptable, whether it's what you would do or what you wouldn't do, it doesn't matter because you're not the one who puts the number on your performance review.
Exactly. Which takes us then to the bullet on self-awareness. If you can't find any weaknesses, guys, you're doing it wrong. Okay? We all have them. Everyone has weaknesses. If there are 100,000 skills required in the workplace, and some independent arbitrator ranked you on a scale of competence for each and every one of those behaviors that you're expected to engage in. One of them's going to shake out and end up on the top. One is going to be at the bottom. It has to be. It's math. It works that way. So of all the things that you do, you have got some things that are your strengths, and therefore, a good number of the things that you do are going to have to be your weaknesses. Even the most well-rounded of all of us have got weaknesses.
And we're not going to share our list with anybody though, right, Sarah? You're
no
not going to tell on me.
No.
Well, that seems like a really good place to stop for this week. We'll give everybody a week to write their list, and then next week we'll come back and tell you what to do with them. Bye, everyone.